I'm going to be over in Psalms 19. If you want to turn there, Psalms 19 and 7, I'll read one verse here this morning. But while you're turning there, I want you to know something. You'll be happy to know that I have discovered the perfect preacher, and you'll be unhappy to know it's not me. I'm sure you probably understand that. You'll be happy to know that the perfect preacher has been found. Here he is. He preaches 15 minutes and not a second more. And during that 15 minutes, he preaches against sin in such a gentle way that no one's ever offended. He works from 6 in the morning till 10 at night and never gets tired. He can clean the church if necessary. He can help with the jobs going on in the congregation. He can help with that. And is an expert in almost every field. He's always well-dressed, in the best clothes, buys the latest books on subjects that the church would be interested in, has a well-dressed and well-behaved family, always drives a late model car, and always gives time and money to every charitable fund, and always gives $40 a week out of his $100 a week salary to whatever's needed. He has a burning desire for the teenagers, but yet he spends all of his time with the older folks. He smiles all the time and has a great sense of humor. He always has a great personality and nerves of steel. Now that's the perfect preacher. That would be the perfect preacher. And you realize that, and I told you that this morning, that I'm not it. You understand that. But there are a lot of times after, and I say that because what I'm going to preach on today, you're going to figure out that I'm not the perfect preacher. Because I want you to understand something. I feel it's more important for your soul, and I feel that it's more important for you to understand that there is a place that we are going after we leave this life, whether it's heaven or whether it's hell. Don't let anybody ever confuse you. There's no in between. There's a heaven and a hell. So I want you to understand that this morning. The title of my sermon is, the title of the sermon, and I wrote it down here, Making Wise the Simple. And I believe that that is something that needs to be done. Always, always we need to do this. If you would, let's stand and read God's Word here this morning. Psalms 19 and 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." That's what it says. The law, it says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Let us pray. Father, I pray that the Spirit would do what I cannot do here this morning. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would reach into the hearts, into the minds of each and every individual here. I pray, Father, that, Lord, as that Spirit comes down, Lord, I pray, Father, that the Word would be opened up in their minds and in their hearts, and that, Lord, that it would be, that, Father, that it would be, Father, something that would just grab a hold, Lord, and let them know that, Father, there is truth in this Word. Absolutely. Father, we pray for that this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would go with each and every heart that's represented here, Lord, each and every family, and that, Lord, we would come to the realization, Lord, that you love us, that your grace is here, and that, Father, you want nothing more than the Father to let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you live in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, and you may be seated. Amen. Thank you. Would you agree with me that the Word of God is an education? I believe the Word of God is an education. An old high school teacher once said this, and I remember this. Let's get the textbooks open, and let's stamp out some ignorance. Right? I've heard it. So let me mention this. Let me say this to you this morning. Let's get, as a pastor, I want to say this. Let's get the Bibles open this morning, and let's stamp out some ignorance. How about that? Americans on average have 4.4 Bibles per household. That's on average. If you take all the Bibles that are sold in this country, American families 4.4 Bibles per household. 9 out of 10 American households has a Bible in it. 9 out of 10. And for a nation with that many Bibles, we sure don't know it very well. And I might say that there's a lot of churches, sorry about that, that don't know it as well either. Amen? Amen? There's a lot of church people that don't know it very well. While a whole lot of folks don't know it, and why may I say, or maybe they don't believe it, because by the way that they act with the Word of God. And as your scripture tells us this morning, as I read that to you this morning, we don't have to be simple concerning the Bible. We don't have to be simple concerning the things of God. Listen, and this definitely isn't boring. Anybody that tells you that this Bible is boring, and I'm going to be blunt with you, isn't saved. Because this Bible is not boring. You really get into it when the Spirit of God is dealing with you. I'm here to tell you this morning, this Bible isn't boring. Absolutely not. Heard a preacher say one time, he said, "I don't like boring preaching." So he said, "Well, amen, I don't either. But if it's boring, it is because either the preacher is not anointed or the people listening to it aren't anointed." A Gallup poll taken a few years back found out that 50% of Americans who had a Bible couldn't name one of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Judas, and John. I just threw that in there. 60% of them couldn't name 5 of the 10 commandments. 50% of high school teenagers believed that Sodom and Gomorrah were married. I'm just telling you what they found. Only 24% believed that the Bible is literal. 24%. That's a whole lot of people that don't believe that the Bible isn't literal. I don't know who Gallup was talking to. I don't know. But I don't know how they do some of these things sometimes, how they do these surveys. I'll be honest with you, through all my time, when they say they take all these polls and they do all this, I don't know about you, but I've only been called one time in my life about anything like that. Hosea 4:6 says this, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of my God, I will also forget thy children." This book, I'm going to be right blunt with it, is knowledge. This book is wisdom. This book right here is the truth. Plain and simple, this book is the truth and is full of simple solutions for simple sinners. For the grace of God. The grace of God. I'm telling you, He laid it out so simply for people. All that you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He laid it out there so simply. But yet, there's so many people who are simple and arrogant to it and ignorant of it. The word simple is found throughout the Bible, and it gives us a definition of what it means. It means to be ignorant is what it absolutely means. If you're simple of something, it means you're being ignorant of it. Proverbs 14:15 says this, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." Now, it doesn't say this, that every word of God that they'll question every word of God, because it doesn't say that's what they're doing. But isn't it funny today, isn't it? That they will believe a newspaper article, they'll believe a newscast, they'll believe all manner of things, documentaries, you go right on down the line, but still they will question God's word. And it's saying here, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't believe everything that I read or hear by people out in this world. The devil is the little god of this world, and he loves nothing better than to deceive. He has a whole bunch of people out here that he can use to deceive. And I hope you understand that here this morning. They said, because the simple believeth every word. People will believe every documentary. They'll believe every new study. They'll believe every new conspiracy theory. But they won't believe what the Bible says. They won't believe it. I just wondered, and I thought about that at times as I looked through it. I said, we have been taught, and I'm going to be blunt with you. I know there's a few teachers in here. We have been taught that evolution is pretty much right down the line, and it's everything that they said it's just exactly what we needed to know. But we'll treat the Bible as if it's a fairy tale, as if it's some kind of a fable. Now, preacher, you're talking bad about science. You don't believe in science? Listen to me. If I hear that one more time, the Christians don't believe in science, I'm going to puke. I believe in good science. That's what I believe in. No Christians should be against science. Science, I'm against bad science. Turn to 1 Timothy 6:20. And you need to mark this in your Bibles. 1 Timothy 6:20. This is Paul talking to Timothy. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, opposition of science. Did you get that? Falsely so-called. Do you understand what Paul's trying to get across to Timothy? Science that is falsely so-called. I'm against bad science. Listen, no Christians are not against science. They are not against that. Don't even let that. It's just bad. Have you ever heard about the Egyptian plover bird? Have you ever heard that? It's called the crocodile bird. Has anybody here ever seen that, ever heard about that bird? You've heard of the theory of natural selection? I know most of you have heard about that. Well, if you go, this little bird, all the crocodiles will come up on the bank over off the Nile. And these crocodiles will lay up there on the bank. Well, this bird waddles down there. It's got a high-pitched voice. And that crocodile opens its mouth, and that bird goes in. And it'll pick off leeches and stuff like that have gathered on this crocodile. It'll get the meat that's rotten in within its teeth to try to, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if evolution is true, how was trial and error on this? But that crocodile left its mouth open until that bird was done, and then it goes out. Do you know what I say? Let every man be a liar and God be true. You don't think God didn't put that into these animals? Amen. I believe that God put that into those animals. Go watch that video. I think it's awesome. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In 2 Peter 3:5, it says this, for that this they or willingly ignorant of, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the waters, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Let them believe what they want. But I'm here this morning to tell you, I believe in science. I just don't believe in bad science. And I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to tell you, evolution is bad science. Any Christian that wants to make that work with what God's word says, that is bad science. One time, I'll read you a little poem that I wrote down. I heard this a long time ago. One time, I was a tadpole when I began to begin. Then was I a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey swinging from a tree. Now I'm a doctor with a PhD. I know. I know. I just want you to understand where I'm coming from here this morning. What I'm trying to say to you, the simple believeth every word. The simple believeth every word. That's a gullible and a naive person that believes everything that the world wants to put out there for us to believe. And unfortunately, we can see it every day. Can we not? They will believe every word that CNN says, MSNBC says, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox. People will grab a hold of that stuff and believe it with all that they got. But you mentioned that the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. Well, now, preacher, I don't know about that. Did you know that there were over, I thought this is so interesting, 1,800 stories last year in the news that had to be retracted. The year before that, there was 1,500. You know what retracted means, don't you? They put them out there as facts. Then either days later or a few weeks later, they had to go back and say, well, no, that was false. That wasn't the way that it was. No one has ever retracted one thing out of the Bible. Not one thing. Romans 3:4, God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou may be justified in the saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Any of you that have been parents for any length of time, you parents know this. Listen to me. Any length of time, no, you normally don't believe the first story that comes out of your child's mouth when they're in trouble. Amen? You're not gullible. You're not naive. You'll cross-examine, you'll investigate, you'll call in witnesses if you have to. Listen to me. Parents, you know what I'm saying. Listen, then why would we believe every word that the world has to put out there for us? The simple believeth every word. That's what the Bible says. The simple believeth every word. Well, listen, world, I offer to you here this morning, just because it's out there on the news, do the digging that you need to dig to find out if that is true or not. Because more often than not, it's not true. But yet, we still question God. The testimony of the Lord is sure and maketh wise the simple. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Lord, the holy is understanding. It doesn't say, listen to me, that the love of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It did not say that. What's it say? It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I don't stand up here this morning and just frightened to death of God, because I know that I'm born again, then I'm saved. But I'll tell you what, I got a healthy respect for Him. How about you this morning? That's what that's trying to say. We need a healthy... Another thing the simple will do, turn to Proverbs 22:3. This is another thing that the Bible says. And I'm going down through and giving you definitions of the simple, of those that are considered simple. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple will pass on and are punished. You see that? A prudent man foreseeth. He looks at it. He sees what's going on. He hideth himself. He gets himself out of it. But a simple person will pass on and are punished. The scripture here has both a physical and a spiritual meaning to it. If you look at this, if the bridge is out, if the bridge is out and there are barricades and signs and lights flashing, and you go around it and go on through and fall down into the river, whose fault's that? Well, there'll be people out there say, well, you know what, it was God's fault. There'll be people out there say, well, no, it was the state's fault. It was this fault. It was that. No. The simple pass on and are punished. And drive. And listen, simple people are careless, whether you want to realize that or not. Even though they hear and see the danger ahead, they go right ahead and go through. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, 26 and 27. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The simple passed right on through. They can hear. I know loved ones that have been talked to, that have been talked to about the Lord, about what's going to happen if you go out of this world without Jesus. I have preached since 1986, and I tell you that I have preached the gospel. I have preached that people need to understand that there is something more to this life than what you've got right now, and that there is an afterlife. I have preached that. I have preached the gospel. I have preached all that. And you know what people have done? I know that they have done it. They have went right through the barricades. They've went right through all the flashing lights. They've went right through all the signs. And they've headed headlong into a place where they did not need to go. Impending danger that lies ahead. You know, I don't care if you live to be 120. And I hope everybody in here lives to be 100. I hope you live to be 150. I'm just saying, I hope that you have a long, healthy life. But listen to me, there's going to come a time whenever death will come knocking. If he doesn't come and take us before then, death will come knocking. And the most important thing that you will ever do is the decision that you make today on whether or not you serve Jesus Christ and let him into your heart and become born again. Listen, impending danger. And they have died and lost and lifted up their eyes in hell. That's sad to me. I'm just telling you, that is sad to me. Ecclesiastes 11:3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. That's a spiritual meaning to that. That's just not talking just about trees and clouds. He's talking about what decisions we make in this life. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple will pass right on through, and they are punished. I'm reminded of the story of the rich young ruler. I like this story that's over in Matthew. And I know we've taught about it. And he come to Jesus, and the first thing he asked him was this. He said, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus told him, he said, and you know the story, he said, keep the commandments, do not commit murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, honor his mother and father, and love his neighbor as himself. That's what Jesus laid it out there. He told him that. And Jesus, and just like Ken was preaching, Jesus knew the heart of what this guy, he knew this heart. He knew what was going on here. The young man answered, the young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth. But I want you to look at this last part of this because this is important. What lack I yet? You notice? He knew that he lacked something. He knew it. This young ruler come to him and he's asking a question. He knew that he lacked something. Someone who is lost knows that they are lacking something. Someone that is not born again knows that they're not born again. They know that. Everyone around them can be fooled. Everyone can fool everyone they've ever heard of. But listen to me. He or she knows where they stand. Deep down inside, they know. How many of you this morning, you don't have to doubt where you're going to spend eternity? How many of you know that this morning? How many of you know that? You do not have to doubt where you're going to spend eternity. When I got saved in Mannington, West Virginia, and I say this is my testimony, on that Wednesday night, many years ago, I got up out of there and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was born again. The Spirit of God came flooding into my heart. I knew it. I didn't have to go ask the preacher. Preacher McLean was his name. I remember, isn't that strange how you remember? I didn't have to go ask him. I didn't have to go ask the boy that knelt with me and asked me if I wanted to pray. I didn't have to ask him if I was saved. I knew it. And I'm here this morning to tell you, you will know it beyond a shadow of a doubt if you are born again. The simple pass by and pay no attention to that. How many of you? And listen. It goes on to say, that rich young ruler, you know what he did? After he heard that, we know the story. He said he hung his head, and because Jesus told him, he said, sell all you got, give it to the poor. He said, then come and follow me. He said that man just hung his head and walked off, and nowhere else in that Bible do we ever see wherever he ever come to know Jesus as his Savior. There's nowhere else in there that I've ever seen it in there. If anybody has, let me know. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it wasn't just a simple fact that he had riches and was going to sell them. It was Jesus knew what his heart was about and knew that he couldn't get rid of that. The simple pass on through and are punished. 1 John 5:12-13, and he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Jesus said this. This is in red. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. That you may know. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Jesus knew what this young man was going on with him. The story started out with this man asking the question, what can I do to have eternal life? Jesus explained to him what he had to do. But what did he do? This young man, the simple pass on by and are punished. Willfully passed on by. Listen, Jesus puts up the barricades and the signs, and the lights telling him just what he needed to do. And he did not believe what Jesus told him. Now, I'm here to tell you, we could judge this man, but I'm here to tell you there are countless thousands of people sitting in churches today, countless people out here in these communities today that are doing the exact same thing because they do not believe the Word of God. If they believed that there is a literal hell and that Jesus Christ died to keep them out of it, every one of them would run to an altar somewhere and every one of them would get saved to make sure that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in them. I've seen countless people like that. And it breaks my heart. It doesn't. Listen, they said Jesus was... That scripture this morning talking about Jesus being agitated this morning. And don't you believe Jesus got agitated sometimes because the people that he would talk to them and tell them all the time what was coming, what needed to be done, and what they were all about. But it seems like, you know what? They would hear this part of it and then they'd go on. I accuse myself, my wife knows this, I'm probably adult ADHD, you know, sometimes my mind is here, it's there, it's here. That's why I do notes, because if I didn't, my mind would be 1,000 different miles away. But I'm here this morning to tell you there are people like that, sitting in church, not just ADHD, they just don't want to hear the gospel. Some thinking that there are some out there thinking they got plenty of time, and others who are belligerently just walking through it. I told you about the little sticker that some guy got me up work, and I put it on my board up there behind my desk. And it says this: those that will wait to the 11th hour to get saved will die at 10:30. How true is that sometimes? How true is that? Just like the rich young ruler. Just like him. Listen, why can't we be like the Ethiopian where Philip, he, you know what? He was out there and we heard about that. He's out in the desert and he's running in his chariot. Philip gets called over to him and he's reading some scripture. He said, "Whoa, what's this mean?" And Philip told him. He said, "What hindereth me to be baptized? What hindereth me? The man God, the man I got, we're going to see him one day in heaven. We're going to see the Ethiopian in heaven one of these days." He said, "What hindereth me to be baptized?" He said, "Do thou believe." and do as you believe, not up here, right here. Do as you believe. Got down out of there and he got baptized. He was saved. Praise his name. Why can't you just grab a hold of it like that? A prudent man foresees the evil and hideth himself. Claire? There was a time in my life I heard the gospel and I grabbed a hold of it and I knew that I was wrong. And praise God, didn't know it at the time, but I become a prudent man at that time. Points away. What do you know that the Bible, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit are the barricades and the signs and the warning lights that it throws up all the times in our lives? Wanting us to do that. But you also know that the Word can only point you in a direction. Do you know that? The Word can only point you in a direction. The Holy Spirit can only drive you towards the cross. You have to make the final decision. As I think Ken said it this morning, he said he stands at the door and knocks. I love that picture because there's no doorknob on the outside of that picture. Why is that? Because the door can only be opened from within. That's why. You got to open it. Holy Spirit can only convict us and chase us towards the cross. That's all that it can do. Listen, when I got saved up that night, the Spirit, I was under such conviction, it wasn't funny. I mean, I was just under conviction. I've heard of people that the Holy Spirit has convicted them that they had to go to the doctor because they thought they were sick. I've heard the Holy Spirit convicting people so much. I know I've seen this of people shaking the back of the pews. I've seen that. I know that. That's how bad, not bad, that's how good it is for the Spirit to convict somebody. But yet, I've seen that same person that stood there and shook the back of that pew, not even go forward. And as far as I know, never, ever had the opportunity again to get saved. Never did. You want to talk about sorrow? You want to talk about something that makes me sad, that makes me cry? Is whenever I think of stuff like that. The simple pass on and are punished. There's a book out there, Set Free, Life and Faith on Death Row. How many of you ever have heard of Carla Faye Tucker? Anybody ever heard of her? It's a good story, is it not? Yes. I recommend reading it. Carla Faye Tucker. She was the first woman executed, put to death in Texas since the Civil War. This happened back, I believe, in the 1980s or 90s, she was put to death. When she was in her 20s, I believe, she took a pickaxe and killed two people, her and her boyfriend did. They killed them. I think it was over drugs and some other stuff was involved. But she killed them and they caught her. Well, she was in there the 2 months. They arrested her and put her in jail. And those 2 months that she was in there, they did a puppet show. A Christian group came into that jail and did a puppet show. Whenever they did this show, they give her a Bible. And she went and started reading that Bible on her own. She'd never ever had heard anything about the gospel, never heard anything about church, never even wanted anything to do with it. She read it and she got saved. Miraculously saved. She went to the judge and told the judge, because they called her before that, and she told the judge, she said, "Yes, I am guilty." And the judge told her, she said, "Well, you know, if you do that, you're going to face the death penalty." She said, "I deserve to die. I deserve it." She went on, she started up a little ministry there in prison, and it went on for a few years, and finally it came the time for her to die. She never fought it. She walked in, got on the table where they were going to shoot the drugs into her veins. And as she was laying there, she looked over and she told the warden, because the family was there watching, of the ones that this had happened to. She told the warden, "Thank you for your time, for me, you know, taking care of me while I'm here." She told the family, she said, "I hope and pray that this brings you closure." She told the nurse, she said, she showed her, said, "This vein right here would probably be the best vein." And she said they shot the drugs into her, and she went out of there humming a Christian song. And she went on to be with the Lord. I'm here to tell you this morning, salvation, bought by the blood, salvation is real. It is real. There's no faking it. You would say, "Well, why didn't she fight that?" She said, "I'm not fighting something. I did it. I deserve the punishment." Can I tell you here this morning, you will deserve the punishment for your crime. Your crime will be sin. You'll stand before a just God one day. And she, listen, listen, in Ephesians 14, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The simple pass on. They don't understand what I'm preaching here this morning. They're thinking, "Well, you know what? That is your opinion." No, that is God's opinion. I believe there are people who are ignorant concerning God's plan. I absolutely do. His plan for mankind. Even with all the Bibles floating around, I still believe there are people who are ignorant. Because of their ignorance, because of their lacking of knowledge. Matthew 24, 38 through 39. "For as it is in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Folks, it's not a sin to be simple or ignorant of some things, but it is a sin to be ignorant and stay that way when God has put so much out there. Amen? Amen. It is when God has made a way. It is when God has made the way, as it was in the day of Noah. Listen, people, folks today are just living their lives. Am I right? Before this COVID thing happened, folks were just living their lives with no consideration or very little consideration to the things of God. They raised their families. They worked a job. They'd go on vacation. They'd go to the store. They'd gather for the holidays. Listen, and just everyday life. Now, I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but listen to me. And then they would repeat that cycle. But where it gets bad is whenever God is not involved in any of it. I see numerous folks like this. They just live everyday lives, but have alienated their life from God and through the ignorance that was in them. Zechariah 7:12, yea, they made their hearts as adamant stone. They made their hearts as hard as flint. Five times in the Bible says this, I would not have you ignorant. Five times. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 10, 2 Peter 3, Romans 1 and Romans 11. All those, if you go over and look in those scriptures, look in those chapters, it'll tell you, I would not have you ignorant. I'm a preacher, but I'm a preacher that trusts the King James Version of the Bible. If you don't know, I trust it. That's what I trust. That's me, okay? I've got a parallel Bible. Jamie just got one for Christmas, I believe. If you read across, and this is what I'm saying, there's so many translations out there, there's no reason for anybody to be ignorant. I trust the King James. There's ways for people to look at God's Word, is what I'm trying to say. I'm going to read to you four different translations of Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. If you get a parallel Bible, it goes through and it gives you every translation right across. That's why it's called that. New International. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The Living Bible. God's law are perfect. They protect us, make us wise, and give us joy and light. And the New Revised Standard, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. You see what I'm saying? There's no reason for anyone not to understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's got to reveal it to you. Don't get me wrong. But for somebody to say that they're ignorant of the Bible and ignorant of trying to read it because they just don't understand, listen to me. You're not understanding what I'm saying because God's Word is here for us. They are willingly ignorant. If one thing is to be simple, and it's another thing to be ignorant willingly. But to be willingly ignorant is a totally different ballgame. Listen to me. I'm going to learn things until the day I die, Ken, as a preacher and as a Christian. There's things in that Bible that I'm going to continue to learn. And there, he shows me stuff all the time, and he will you as well. I may never know it all. I'll probably never know it all before I go out of this life. I believe that we are living in a generation today that wants to be willfully ignorant of God's Word. They don't want to know about God or His Son. They don't want to know that. Paul stood in Athens, and we know this story. I'm going to finish up here in a minute. He stood in Athens, Greece, and seen how they had made idols to all different kinds of idols, every type of God. They went so far as to even make an idol make a plaque to the unknown God. Because they wanted to be sure. To the unknown God. And in Acts 17:30 says this. And the times of this ignorance, what did it say God did? God winked. Did you know that? He winked. But now commandeth, he said this, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know what Paul was saying? You have no excuse now. He goes on down through there to tell us why. Because of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, if they come and get a song ready. If you're here this morning, be it known to you. The simple passes by and they're destroyed. They face their punishment. You hear the word this morning. You know the fact this morning that you have to be born again. There's no way to get out of that. None. I pray this morning that you understand this. I'm not trying to be hard or harsh or hard-hearted. But He made a way. And I hope and pray that you accept that way this morning. Amen. What we got?